in battle or in situations that we surrender, I'm defeated. But in the things of God, when we surrender, it's just the opposite, actually. When we surrender, we're not defeated and we're not beat down or cast down, but that's where we are victorious. Amen? So I want to encourage us. I sense that some have let go of some things this morning, but I want to encourage all of us this morning to daily surrender to the Lord. Amen? And that's a good place to be, and that's where we'll find our victory, our help. Amen? Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to Psalm chapter 71. We're going to read a passage of Scripture there in just a moment. We're going to be talking this morning about hope. How many of us have ever said something that you didn't mean? Anybody ever been guilty of that? Or maybe I should put it this way. How many of you ever heard someone say something? They say, well, it's just a figure of speech. I didn't really mean what I said. Some examples of that. How many of you ever heard this statement? Finish this if you know this. The statement, I'm so hungry I could eat a... How many of you ever ate a horse? Has anybody ate a horse? Not knowingly, right? I don't know. It may be good, but I don't know that I've ever been hungry enough that I see a horse in the field and say, you know what, I think I'm going to eat that horse. I haven't. So that would be an exaggeration probably, right? Some things that I've heard in my house, not naming names, I've probably said some of them too, all right? But maybe you've heard this in your house too. How many of you ever heard this? There is nothing in this house to eat. While looking in the pantry, you had a pantry full of food, right? There's just nothing to eat. I might get in trouble for this one, but have you ever looked at your closet full of clothes and have made this statement, I have absolutely nothing to wear? Lord, help me. I may hear about that one. That'd be an exaggeration, right? Right in front of us, lots of clothes to wear. How many of you have ever gone on a trip and your kids have asked you over and over and over again, are we there yet? You ever been there? I think one time I've said this, I've told you 1,000 times we're not there yet. You know what a not a good response would be to that? Aaron and Lauren, I think Jordan's, don't say it. Well, that's 1,001, all right? But I think I said that. I told you 1,000 times, whatever it might be. That would be an exaggeration, right? How many of us ever said this when you're told maybe you shouldn't be part of something or should refrain from certain things? How many of you ever heard this said, well, everybody else is doing it? Is that true? Is that true that everybody else is doing it? Maybe a lot of people, right? Maybe people that we know doing it, but I can't say that everybody else is doing it. How many of you ever said this, that this is the best meal I've ever had? Anybody ever said that? It very well could be, but you know what? I had someone tell me not too long ago, it wasn't about a meal, but I think what it was about the day they were having. They said, this is the worst day ever. Was it? I said, you said that yesterday, right? So sometimes we exaggerate a little bit, right? How many of you ever said this, that I like this so much I could do this forever? I could do this forever. This roller coaster is so fun. I could just ride that forever. You know what happened if you rode that forever? Not some good things, all right? Those are just some examples of some things that we say and that we verbalize that the words come out of our mouth and we have intent behind it, but it's not exactly what we mean, right? Maybe some things that we enjoy and we try to express that. I was challenged recently with this. How many of you have ever said in this context of hope that let's just say someone tells you their problems and you respond this way: I hope things get better. How many of you have ever said that? I hope you get better. I hope that whatever the situation may be. What does it mean when we say it in that context? That, man, I hope it doesn't rain today. I got a golf game. I don't. All right, but I hope this doesn't happen. I hope this. We ever said that? We could replace that with, and I thought I heard this that with wish, right? Man, I wish you could get things figured out. I wish it wouldn't rain. I wish, but I want to talk about biblical hope this morning. And do you know there's a difference between wishing and hoping? And in our society and in our in my life, sometimes I get that kind of blurred a little bit. A definition that I use for hope is a confident expectation. A confident expectation. Now that's deeper than a wish, right? That's because there's some things that I wish for that I know. I can't say that I know, but probably more than likely may not happen. But when we hope, and in the biblical context, I believe the Lord is challenging me. I believe He's challenging us this morning. I believe He's challenging the church to begin to hope in Him, to have a confident expectation. Amen. Psalm chapter 71. Verse number 14, and so I want us to, by the time we leave here this morning, to have a knowledge of what true hope is, and that we begin to change our speech, that we begin to, not just our speech, but we change our hearts, and that when we say that we hope and that we believe that we really do, all right? Psalm chapter 71, verse number 14, the psalmist writes here, he says, "But I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more." And he was talking about adversaries that were coming against him, reproaches and attacks that he was facing. And this was his response. He said, "I will hope continually and yet praise thee more and more." Is it possible for us to have hope continually? Or is that a hyperbole? Or is that an exaggeration? I believe it's absolutely possible for us to continually hope. And this is the question that I have for myself this morning and for us this morning. I'll give us this challenge. Is hope something that I talk about, or is it something that I possess? Is it something that I walk in? I believe here in this instance, hope wasn't just something that the psalmist talked about. You know, and I think in Christian circles and church circles, we use this word a lot, that we hope, but we're really not hopeful. Amen? We're not expecting and we're not confident, right? I believe this morning, that as a psalmist was writing about those that were coming against him, he was confident that he could go to the Lord. And that through that, even though there was adversaries and there was adversity coming against him, that he was confident that in spite of that which was coming against him, that he could praise God more and more. Why? Because his hope, his confidence, his expectation was in the right place. Amen. And Lord, help me. Lord, help us to not just talk the talk, not to just speak the word, "I hope," but that we really in our hearts have a confident expectation. You know what? This is happening. This is the situation that I'm in. But God, right? And I know that He can see me through. I know that He can take care of me. Amen. So is hope something that I talk about, or is it something that I walk out? I want to get to the place where it's something I walk out every day. Amen. How many would say this morning that you'd like some hope? How many? I've heard people say, you know what? It just seems like a hopeless situation. It seems like there's no hope in this, whatever that may be. I was reading in Romans chapter 5, this is a passage that I've read a lot. I'm sure I've preached from before, but I saw something in this passage new this week, and saw from where hope is produced. I want to, Lauren, she told me, I put the notes in the bulletin, and she said, I know you're always going to go back further, right? So we're going to go back to verse number 1. I have verse number 3, but so good job, Lauren. Thanks for keeping up with me there. Verse number 1, it says, therefore, being justified by faith. Are you familiar with this passage, right? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Verse number 3 says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation works patience, and patience experience, and experience, did you catch that word there? Hope. Verse number 5 says, and hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us, which we'll talk about that here in just a moment. So where is our hope produced from? If you back up, all right, it says tribulation works patience, patience experience, experience works hope. And so we have hope from our experiences, right? Hope in the fact that, you know what, this situation that I was in last year at this time, I believed God, and I was confident, and I expected Him to take care of it. And guess what? He did, right? And so my hope begins to increase and to build, all right? So I believe not only this is not the only way, but this is a way that our hope is produced through the experiences that we face. The experiences that we go through sometimes require patience, right? How many of you want what you want? You want it now, right? There needs to be some patience. But it backs up and it says that tribulation works patience, patience experience, experience produces hope. And so where is hope? In one way, in one scenario anyway, where is it produced from? Through the tribulations that we endure, the trials and the tests. Now, that's not a real sign me up for that, right? But what we know is that when tribulations come, when testing comes, when trials come, how many of you can honestly say this, that you've seen God with you, and you felt God with you in those tribulations and in those tests? And my testimony is sometimes that I feel Him even closer in those times than in other times. Why? Because maybe my awareness level, maybe my eyes are open a little bit more. So know this, that as we go through tribulations, I want us to understand this morning, that as tribulations and trials and testings come, we have hope. We have to have some patience, and there's experience that comes with that. But as those testings come, never feel like, oh, there's no hope, because God is with us. Amen? What am I hoping for? What am I hoping for? Now, I think all of us could tell us, if I were to take the time this morning, I could ask all of us, what is it that we're wishing for, right? Man, this is what I would like to see. This is what I would like to experience. This is what I would like to do, right? But what is it that I'm hoping for? What is it that I'm expecting from the Lord? Romans 5:5 says, as we have this hope, this confident expectation, it makes not ashamed. And it tells us why. It says, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some will even dare to die. But God commendeth or demonstrated his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. What is it that I am expecting? What is it that I'm hoping for? Can I tell us the greatest thing that we can hope for is life through Jesus, right? How is it that we have life through Jesus? How many of us would say that I deserve eternal life? None of us deserve it, but it's offered to us. Why? Because Jesus went to the cross. Verse number 8 says that he demonstrated his love towards us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And I was just brought back to this passage this week. It's a simple thing, but I've thought about if I could wish for anything, I would wish that everyone would be in health and live, right? And sadly, that's not always the case. In this life, we face stuff, right? But I was like, man, if I could have a wish, I think that's what it would be. But my hope, you know what my hope is? That we can have life and live. Is that possible? How? Through Jesus, right? And so I'm confident, and I'm expecting that as I give my life to Jesus, and as you give your life to Jesus, and I was excited to hear about little ones this week that have turned their life to Jesus, and we trust that we'll hear more testimonies of that this week. But I'm confident that when we give our lives to Jesus, there is a confident expectation that there is life. John 10 says, a thief comes not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but Jesus said, I am come that they might have life, and that more abundantly. Right? What's that talking about? I think it's talking about blessing in this life, but it's talking about beyond this life, right? And we can, this morning, I want us to know this, that we can hope for life. Amen? But you say, well, you know, that's not really where I'm at this morning. I surrendered my life to the Lord, and I know that if I were to breathe my last breath today, my home would be in heaven. But where I'm at, I'm facing some hardships, and maybe you're here this morning, and you say, I just don't know that I can. I have hope for eternal life, but I don't know that I have hope that where I find myself, this situation is, can it really get better? I want to read in Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah 29 this morning, verse number 11, which is one that probably many of us stand upon, many of us have quoted, many of us have shared with others even. In Jeremiah 29:11, this is how it reads. This is what the word declares this morning. It says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Another translation, and if you look up that word, that expected end, again, confident expectation, right? Another translation says, to give you hope. How many would say, I need some of that this morning? I need to be reminded that the thing that the Lord thinks of me and speaks toward me is peace, not evil, and to give us confidence, expectation, to give us hope. How many of us have ever stood upon that scripture and quoted that? Maybe you are this morning. Do you know what context that was spoken in? Back up to verse number 10. So this is what the Lord says, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and causing you to return to this place. And he says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end, to give you hope. So what he was speaking was that in the midst of your captivity, as you're in this place of bondage and captivity and not where you want to be, the Lord says, I know what I have planned for you. I know the thoughts that I think toward you. It's good things, and it's peaceful things, and it's not evil. And there is hope. Amen. Sometimes we think it's just a rosy thing, but it wasn't a pleasant situation that this was addressed in by Jeremiah. Right? It was to people who were in captivity. Maybe you're here this morning, maybe you're not in captivity as such as what was recorded here, but you know, we can be held captive by lots of things. We can be held in bondage by addiction. We can be held in bondage by situations, right? But I believe the same God speaks the same things to us today that he spoke through Jeremiah many years ago. I know the thoughts I think toward you. I have thoughts of peace for you. I'm not mad at you, and I'm not bringing evil upon you, but I'm bringing hope. Amen? Can I really be hopeful in my situation? The simple answer to that is yes. Why? Why can I be hopeful in my situation? Because of Jesus. Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 18. Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 18. I put this in our notes this morning, and maybe we need to underline this. Maybe we need to not just read this, but to believe this morning, that I have hope through Jesus. I have hope through Jesus. If you believe that, say amen this morning. Amen? I have hope through Jesus. Hebrews 6, verse number 18. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So we have this hope that is set before us, this hope we have as an anchor for the soul, both sure and steadfast. I mean, you know what an anchor does. What does an anchor do? You say, well, it weighs us down. No. When we're talking about this anchor, the anchor keeps us and holds us in place from drifting and wandering, right? It keeps us secure. And I like the wording there. It says this anchor, and it's talking about Jesus that we have, is both sure and steadfast. Amen? I think sometimes our hope isn't always sure and steadfast. The hope that we practice, the hope that we talk about. But this morning, understand that our hope is in Jesus. How many remember the old song that we used to sing, I've anchored in Jesus. The storms of life I'll brave. I've anchored in Jesus. I'll fear no wind or wave. I've anchored in Jesus. For he has power to save. I've anchored to the rock of ages. Amen? I can't believe I knew all those words. But it's truth. Amen? As we're anchored in Jesus, guess what? We have hope. Why is it that at times I may feel like why is it I sometimes feel like I don't have hope, or Is there anything that can be done about this situation? Maybe because we're anchored to the wrong thing. Amen? I have hope through Jesus. Let him be our anchor. He's both sure and steadfast. He's strong and able. Amen. My last passage of Scripture that I want to read this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want us to understand this morning that there's no situation that we face in this life that God has not already given us victory over. Amen? Maybe we've not received it, but He's purchased it. He's given it. May we receive that. But when we understand that every situation, God has made us overcomers through Him in, right? That gives us hope. And that should give us confidence. And that should give us an expectation that, you know what, it may be hard right now. It may be difficult season I'm in right now, but it's not going to last forever. That's my expectation, and that's my confidence that where I find myself right now is not going to last forever. Can I tell us that this life that we're in is not going to last forever? I want to read here in the 15th chapter of Corinthians, verse number 16. We're going to read 10 verses here, but I want us to hear this morning. And there was debate about whether resurrection was truth or not. It says, Paul writes, "If the dead rise not, then is Christ not raised? And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished." Verse number 19 says, "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet." Verse 26 says, "The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death." Verse 27, the very first part of that says, "For he hath put all things under his feet." Talking about death being defeated. You know what? And a lot of people lose sight of hope, a confident expectation, because they know that in this life is going to come to an end. That in this life that if we're blessed in the day and age that we're living in to live 100 years or so, and then the end. But we have hope, right, beyond that 100 years. Amen? And Paul wrote, he said, "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." And I was challenged with that because a lot of times we set our hopes and our dreams and our affections upon things in this life and in this earth. And that's some good things. But I was reminded of the Scripture in Colossians where it says to set your affection on things above, not on things below. Right? In the Gospels, the Scripture talks about to lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, not here below where moth and rust steal and corrupt. You know that passage, right? So know this morning, that we have hope beyond this life. How is it that we have hope beyond this life? Say, it's going to end. But did you catch that where Paul said that the last enemy that shall be destroyed is what? Death. It says, "And he hath put all things under his feet, including death." And so as I've surrendered my life to Jesus, as I've accepted him as my Lord and Savior, guess what? My hope, my confident expectation, and the truth is that, you know, I may, these lungs may breathe their last breath one day here in this life, but that is not the end. Why? Because death has been defeated. And when, you know, we may go the route of the grave, but can I tell us what's exciting? The hope is that when, if that happens and when that happens, if the Lord doesn't come back first, that if I were to go the route of the grave, you know what, I'll be more alive than I've ever been. And that's my hope and that's my expectation of life through Jesus, not just here and now. I'm thankful for the here and now. I'm thankful for what the Lord has done in me. I'm thankful for the blessings of this life. But let us extend our hope beyond the here and now and begin to extend our hope to eternal things. Amen. How many of us have hope this morning? How many of us are confident this morning that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life? It's not a wishful thing, but it's a confidence that we have through Jesus. Amen. I'm asking us to stand together this morning.